You're listening to a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, visit streamschurch.org.
I was just told that if I tell a joke and nobody laughs, I can't fish for compliments anymore. It's a new decade. See, I'm fishing for compliments. What was I going to say? So just to sort of give you, I've been praying about this and really feel like I think I have a direction now. And we had a full-time executive pastor and a part-time a children's director. And we have the new building coming in with our daycare. We're hoping for March with start off 60 kids in there. We have all these new houses being built. I think we're going to try to flip the script. We're praying and believing God to get we're looking for a part-time really exec administrator. We'll be taking applications soon for that, and we'd like to have somebody in your congregation. So if you're really good at making relational guys stay on course, that would be for you. You can give me a call or send me an email. We'll look into that. And then trying to find a full-time family children's life pastor that will be added to our staff. So just to give you an update, that's what we're looking at right now. We're trying to fill those roles because we just think that our children's ministry, with everything going on, and our family life ministry, with everything going on, is a really good direction for our church. So please be praying with us about that, and we're excited with the future. We're asking God for a breakthrough, and we're going to start a fast in 2020 here. We usually do that every year for 3 weeks. So we're going to talk about fasting today, and a lot of information. Our theme scripture, we have it here on the board. I'd like you to stand with me, and we'll read it together like we have been, and then we'll say a prayer for God to really open our hearts to the Word. So join me in this, 1 Thessalonians 1:23 through 24. This is the New Living Translation. Here we go. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. So, Father, thank you for your word. We believe that every word, syllable, line is inspired by you. That your Holy Spirit breathed on men of old who wrote down exactly your words. So we take them literally. And we're going to place our life as this is the foundation of our life as we go forward in 2020. Open our hearts, open our minds, and open our eyes to see. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. I know what I was going to say. I'm going to put Joella Bassett on. Joella Bassett came and did our communion. You can stay right there, okay? She's like, what? I've known Joella off and on for over 30 years, I think. And her children and we see her as just really a bedrock of our congregation and a woman of faith. And I feel like this is prophetic, so I'm saying this for all of us out here. And we see who she is here today, and we see the heritage she has, generations in this church of constantly. And it's a great, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. She can say that to anyone here, and I'd be okay with that, be pleased with that. But the reason you're there in that place, all right, is you said something during communion. You said, I want to know him more today than I did yesterday. And I can tell you for over 30 years, that's true. We served together in children's ministry over 30 years ago. I knew her then. And if you want that as your heritage, right, you want that kind of faith, that kind of walk, that kind of family, I'm going to tell you right now, don't ever get to the place where you think you've arrived when it comes to Christ. Every day, getting to know him more and more and more, knowing Holy Spirit more and more, every day is a new, fresh thing. And as you get older, it becomes a different perspective. My wife and I have been married over 33 years. And you would think by now I would know everything about her, but I get to see her in so many different lights. It's just a powerful, amazing thing. So recently, in the last couple of years, I've got to see her and know her as a grandmother. And not only just a grandmother holding a baby, but I see grandmother of a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old. And it's to know her in that light is new and fresh and powerful, and it just inspires me more and more and more. And that is really, I think, the key and secret to not only just a heritage in life, But just to be constantly in that learning phase, in that exploration phase, to say, I just want this to be a constant, pure revelation to never get old. Thank you for letting me go on a tangent. But I think it's important. I think somebody here needs to hear that. So anyway, my church heritage fasting was not a part of our expression. I came to faith in a very wonderful Baptist church. Communion was big for a part of our expression. And then we had a foot washing service every year. Anybody ever been in a foot washing service? A couple of us out here. And it's one of the most anxious services you'll ever go to. And so before I went to it, was a Sunday night, we didn't Sunday. Before I went to it, I would wash my feet, clip my toenails, like make my feet perfect. So whoever I was sitting across, and the way we did it was there'd be a row of chairs and a row of chairs for all the men and then a row of chairs for the women. And I would always sit across from the pastor. And you kneel down and you wash your feet and you just say, I want to serve you today. And you kneel down and you wash your feet and you dry it off. And it's a very powerful service. Well, we didn't fast. We would do that, but we wouldn't fast. I went to the pendulum swung pretty far. I went to a pretty supernatural Pentecostal Bible college. We would have weeks of revival where every class was just worship and prayer. And it just every night people came, but we wouldn't fast. We just didn't fast. It was a faith school. Which I think I've learned is because there was so much food donated, is we ate terrible food and had the faith that it wouldn't kill us. That's what it wasn't like we got steaks. We got like green hot dogs and we had the faith that they wouldn't kill us. So anyway, there was no mandatory fast, but I did plenty of volunteer fasts. I'm like, nah, I'm not going to eat that today. I'm just going to fast today. Many world religions, including, include fasting as a part of their expressions. The Hindus do it for spiritual awakening. The Muslims do it during Ramadan, which is about 29 to 30 days, where they fast food and drink and tobacco products and sexual relations and sinful behavior. We've seen fasting for political reasons. Gandhi undertook 17 fasts during India's freedom movement, and he used it as a non-violent form of a weapon to see India set free. Abraham Lincoln, which is very interesting, called for a national fast on three different occasions. In our United States of America was just in turmoil and civil war, and our president chose to call fast for our nation. And I want to read one to you, a proclamation that he made. Whereas the Senate of the United States, don't you wish the Senate would say this today? The Senate of the United States devoutly recognizing the supreme authority and just government of God Almighty, in all the affairs of men and of nations has, by a resolution, requested the President to designate and set apart a day for national prayer and humiliation. And whereas it is the duty of nations as well as men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all of history, that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. And insomuch as we know that by His divine law, nations, like individuals, are subjected to punishment and chastisement in this world, and may we not justly fear that the awful calamity of civil war, which now desolates the land, may be but a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins, to the needful end of our national reformation as a whole people. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has grown, but we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. Now therefore, in compliance with the request and fully concurring in the views of the Senate, I do, by this proclamation, designate and set apart Thursday, the 30th day of April, 1863, as a day of national humiliation, fasting, and prayer. I do by here request that all people to abstain on that day from their ordinary secular pursuits and to unite at their several places of public worship and their respective homes in keeping the day holy to the Lord and to devote to the humble discharge of the religious duties proper to that solemn occasion. Isn't that amazing? Our president stood before our nation and said, this is a time to pray and to fast. Every Jew in the Bible was commanded to fast the Day of Atonement, and when they were taken off to Babylon, they have a couple other fasts that they added so that their people would not forget when they were in a foreign land that God was the provider of everything. The Catholic Church, if you grew up with a Catholic expression or grew up in Catholic Church, they historically observe the discipline of fasting and abstinence several times a year in Lent. The Catholic Church, also on Fridays, they have, if you were really devout Catholic, you didn't eat any meat on Fridays, which is interesting because they considered, because fish was a cold-blooded animal, that it was okay to eat fish on Fridays. And I want to thank Catholics everywhere. Because of that, we have all-you-can-eat Friday night fish fries. Anybody want to thank the Catholics for that? Right? It's like Taco Tuesday, but it's Fish Friday, okay? And so that's why, if you've ever gone to one of those, that's why we have that. Many great leaders in the Bible fasted. Moses fasted for 40 days before he received the Ten Commandments. Elijah fasted for 40 days. He was actually on the road running for his life. He was depressed. He was and downtrodden, and an angel came to him and said, eat this food, you need it for the journey ahead. And then after that journey was 40 days, that he was headed to the mountain to hear from God, and during these 40 days, he fasted so they could hear clearly what the Lord was saying. Daniel fasted. We'll talk about that in a little bit. In the New Testament, John the Baptist fasted. Paul and Barnabas fasted, and of course, Jesus fasted. Yet today, you don't hear about fasting many times. In fact, from 1861 to 1954, there was not even a book published on the subject of fasting, almost 100 years. It's not attractional. In fact, some of you are probably starting to squirm a little bit today. You're like, P.L., what happened to the love series? I thought we were still doing that. Can we go back to that? Richard Foster defined fasting as the voluntary denial of a normal function for the sake of intense spiritual activity. And fasting in some form or another was mentioned in the Bible 78 times. Allow me to make a case for fasting today. A couple of scriptures we're going to read. Matthew chapter 6. There's some portions of Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he's saying, you know, if you're going to follow after me, these are the things I just assume you're going to do. And verse 2, it says, when you give to someone in need, don't do it as the hypocrites do. And we all assume that people who are following Jesus give. They help the poor. They share what they have with other people. So did Jesus. He just assumed that you're going to do this. The hypocrites don't do it this way. You do it. Verse 5 says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. And we just assume that part of our spiritual expression is we're going to pray. And in churches all over the United States today, people are praying and people are giving. But he also assumed this, verse 16, and when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. So Jesus assumed that following after him meant you're going to give, you're going to provide help, you're going to pray, and you're going to fast. Chapter 9, verse 15, there's another story in Matthew. Jesus answered, he was asked, why aren't your disciples fasting like everyone else? And he says this, Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he was with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Jesus will no longer be on this earth. Then they will fast. And so this is that time. Jesus answered their question with a very vivid picture. It was a Jewish wedding, and it was a time of special festivity. One of the things that was unique about during that time, the time of a marriage, was that the couple never went away for a honeymoon. They stayed for a week. And so during this week, they would invite their closest friends, some of their family to come. And the whole week long was just this big party and this big festive time. And if you were less fortunate, this would be one of the highlights in your entire life to come to a party like this. In fact, the groom and the bride were called king and queen during this whole week. And the rest of the people were the bride's bride chamber, right? Or Jesus said, how can the guest or the bridegroom? So he's using this illustration. He's saying this, is that this is the time that I'm with you in flesh and blood, that this is the party week. This is the week we have festival. This is the week everybody rejoices. You wouldn't think of going on a fast during this week because it's a week of joy. But there will come a time. And he's speaking prophetically with them. There will be a time when I will go to the cross, when I will die, when I will no longer be of this earth. And when that comes, when those troubles and trials for the disciples, when some of them are running for their lives, in that moment, that will be a time of fasting. And what I would say to you, the application that I would bring is that in this Christian faith and in this Christian walk, there are moments and times that are full of joy. Everything's clicking. You feel the presence of God. But there are also difficult times and trials and times when we have to bear our cross. And during those times, the times maybe of temptation, those are the moments that we fast for breakthrough, for understanding what God is saying in our lives. So Jesus is saying, in this walk, you're going to have these times and those times. And when you get to those times, those are the days that you should fast. We're going to learn fasting is not done for God. It's actually done for you. We also learn in the scriptures that fasting needs to have a proper motivation and sincerity about it. In Matthew chapter 6, following on a little bit of the scripture we just read earlier, taking it all the way out, 16 says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. They make a big deal about it. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head. That's like hair products. When you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father. This is supposed to be this personal, special thing with your Father, who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. It has to have the right motivations. I was listening, as I was preparing for the sermon, I was listening to a podcast about fasting. This pastor began to interview the congregation, and he said, I want you to raise your hand. He asked this congregation, I want you to raise your hand if you've ever fasted 3 days. And so he gives the percentages in the pod. He goes, oh, that looks about 40% of the people just raised their hand. He goes, oh, how about 7 days? And then those people put it, he goes, oh, that looks about 15%. And he goes up to 21. Of course, the numbers are going down. And then he goes to 40. He goes, if you fasted 40 days before, I want you to stand to your feet right now, right? And everybody stands up. Everybody's giving this big applause. And I'm like, I thought this was supposed to be done in secret, or you lose your reward. And I thought, he just ruined a lot of people's 40-day fast. If I'm going to fast for 40 days, I want to get... No, I'm just kidding. You know what I mean? Out of it. Jesus said the motivations have to be good. Fasting is entering a sacred place with God, inviting Him into a certain arena or dominion of your life, and creating clarity. It's getting serious. It's asking for breakthrough. And to understand this, it's just not a food thing. We need to understand that our warfare is not with this body. It's not with flesh and blood. It's spiritual. In Ephesians chapter 6, tells us this. Chapter 6, verses 10 through 12 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. I don't know if you know that the devil has schemes. He has plans and ways to try to take you out. Corporately, he knows, but individually, he knows. So, take your stand against the devil's schemes, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand. And this is why fasting is a spiritual exercise that takes on physical form. But it's understanding that the devil has schemes against us, and it's taking on the war like that. I had a preacher once that was speaking a message, and she had us repeat after her back and forth. The whole sermon we had to repeat this phrase, and she would say, "The devil is a dummy," and everybody goes, "The devil is a dummy," and she'd say it again, and finally my friend turns to me and says, "If she says that one more time, the devil's going to smack her upside the head." I said, "Why are you calling me a dummy?" And I get her understanding. Her understanding is we don't need to fear the devil because Christ has overcome. But it would be unwise for us not to realize that the devil has schemes. And he knows ways to get to us through certain arenas. To understand that. So taking that scripture and everything we talked about, let's go to the temptation of Jesus found in Luke chapter 4. And we're going to see all this action taking place of the devil, his temptations, and how Jesus overcame. Chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. And get the order of this. Where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. The temptation started probably before the fast started. And so when he was there for 40 days being tempted. And so when the temptation started, this is Jesus' answer to the temptation. So, I put that a little marker and I put these words in my Bible. So, he ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. And Jesus' answer for strong temptation. We know that Jesus was 100% God, but 100% human. And so when that temptation came, he knew that in his humanity, the way to fight that was through a fast. It's one of the best weapons of our warfare, that when you feel tempted to fast. And if you have marital problems, I mean, you can go see a counselor, you should. Some people go see a lawyer. But maybe try fasting. Maybe saying, we're just going to back off and have a fast, call a fast. So we can then, after that, seek godly counsel. But just taking some time to settle my heart, for God to speak to me, to speak to you, talk to us about how we can take ownership. If you have legal issues with somebody and you want to go run into the court, may I suggest, stop and fast. Allow God to talk and speak to you. Jesus was 100% God and 100% human. And he knew the human part of him needed fasting to withstand temptation. Verse 3. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread," because he was hungry. He was fasting for 40 days. And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The first temptation that Satan brought to Jesus had to do with his physical body. He was hungry. And the devil appeared to that craving, that humanity. And if you don't eat for 40 days, you get very hungry. And so Jesus understands that he was hungry. That's not the point. The point is that this temporal body that I have, right, is temporal. And there's an eternal being that will live forever, my spirit. And so eating food's not bad, but people do not live by bread alone. There's more to it than this body. So Jesus is stating that. There's something eternal to think about. 1 Timothy 4:8, Paul gives some really interesting advice to young Timothy as a pastor. And he's giving all this advice, and the New Living Translation says it this way. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and the life to come. And he's talking about godliness is having the character and attitude of God, that this goal is more worthy than the potential gain of physical exercise. So one version says physical training profits for a little time. And so there's nothing wrong with physical exercise. I've seen so many people who take good care of their body and they eat well, as they should, and they spend much time, as much time if not more, being involved with holiness and godliness and taking care of their spiritual being. They understand that the health of the body allows us to fully engage with the spirit. And I've seen people even use their passion in a healthy way to minister to other people, to set them free from some of these things. But I've also seen other people get really involved in a trap, and the trap of living for this physical body and neglecting their walk with God. They become so obsessed with working out and so obsessed with vanity or whatever that is. And I don't have a problem with either one of those, vanity or working out. So, but when I do exercise, when I do some work out on my yard, I'm by myself, when I walk the dog, oftentimes I like to take some headsets and listen to sermon podcasts or listen to worship. And I like to pray during those times. I like to leverage these moments when I'm doing a physical activity to connect with my spirit as well and connecting with God. The problem is I get so, and this is true, I get so wrapped up in what I'm hearing sometimes or worshiping that I forget what I'm doing. And oftentimes I'll be working outside and going, where did I just put that hammer? And I'm like, I can't find, or I'll lose my cell phone. And I'll go, and Judy, can you call me? Because I know I had my cell phone, and now I don't know where it's at. And so, but that's a good thing. And taking these opportunities, these moments, and that's what Jesus is trying to say, is that we have these cravings. There's nothing wrong with these cravings for food. There's nothing wrong with being healthy in your body. But don't ever forget that this is temporal. You might get 80 years out of it, but eternity lasts forever. And so what Paul is telling Timothy, exercising in godliness will benefit now and forever. We have some wonderful cravings that God created. And I was reading this article on WebMD from 2017. And it's talking about eating. It says, eating prompts the brain to release feel-good hormones known as endorphins. And a new study shows, and the researchers found, that the regulation of these natural occurring opiates can produce a sense of pleasure or euphoria, and they will help us know when the body is satisfied. So these researchers from Finland, these Finnish researchers, scanned the brains of 10 male volunteers using a PET scan. And these participants were instructed to fast overnight. And so after the first night of fasting, and they've got these scans set up on the brains to see how chemicals release, they broke the fast with a pizza. And the scans then were repeated another day with one of these sort of liquid shake things, right? And that had the same calories. And what they found out was this, is that both meals release these endorphins that make us like an opiate, like make us feel better. But, however, only the pizza led to a notable increase in pleasant feelings. To my reply would be, I don't need you to research me to tell me that, to tell us that pizza makes you feel good. How many amen? Amen to that. Pizza makes you feel good. I don't need them to research or scan my brain. But here's the point. Like an opiate, there's a chemical that's released in our brain. And like an opiate, when it becomes to a place of overuse or addiction, it can lead us to unhealthy issues. These bodies are temporal. They break down. They fade away. And one day they'll be gone. But man was never meant to live by bread alone. We were never physical exercise profits a little, but the word of God endures forever. So exercises and godliness greatly benefits us for all time. But fasting, it lets our physical body know, and these cravings know, that we will not be controlled by the flesh, that we will be controlled by the Spirit. It's like aligning our body with understanding. So I have great news. The book of Revelation chapter 19, the Apostle Paul, we hear, he has this vision where he sees into heaven, and in this he sees the wedding feast, the wedded banquet table where the saints are seated. And it is my belief that during that time when we're in heaven, when these bodies are gone and we're spiritual man's there, we get to eat anything with zero calories. And amen to that. Like pizza will have no calories. Ice cream will have no calories. And you say, Pastor Lloyd, how do you know that? Well, because the Bible says there'll be no weeping in heaven. See? Boom. That'll preach. I should write a book about that. Pizza, calorie-free in heaven. Intimacy is releases a beautiful, same thing, feelings and chemicals in our body. And it was created for marriage. And in that environment, it's beautiful and wonderful, and it makes two people one. But we all know the devastation that is caused when this beautiful expression of love is twisted or depraved or out of control. And we live in a society where temptation in this area can be found at any time by anyone. There's no longer any barriers. So if that is an issue, if you're in a temptation of lust, if it's controlling you, what about a fast? I mean, that's what this scripture would talk about. In that temptation, I'm going to fast and tell my body you're not in control. And you'll be so hungry you won't think about anything else. So that's part of the good thing about fasting is Jesus was hungry and fasted for 40 days. And the devil tempted him to turn a stone into bread. And his spirit easily took over because his body was being used to being held in check by a fast. His body knew its place, if you will. The next temptation is verses 5 through 8. The devil led him to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all the authority and splendor. It has been given to me. In other words, look at all this. See all this right now? Everything your eye can see, you can have it. If you worship me, it will be yours. And Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And the second temptation had to do with what he could see out there and all the things that he could have. And the third temptation, and we'll talk about these more in depth in the next couple of weeks. Verse 9, the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. He said, if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. And they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. And Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord God to the test. And when the devil had finished all his tempting, this is interesting, he left him until an opportune time. Jesus was being tempted on several levels. He fasted during this time. Satan did not have any success. And so he left him until a more opportune time. And the more opportune time, of course, came when Jesus was about to give up his life. And he was praying in the garden. And the temptation to not go through with that. And Luke is telling us about this. These temptations, these three temptations, I believe really speak to a much greater. I think we're going to read in 1 John 2, these three levels of temptation, almost every temptation you can have can be sort of boxed in with this. So 1 John chapter 2, John is telling us about the world and everything in the world and the temptations of the world. Verse 15, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. And I love the New Living Translation that says this, for the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, that's the body, right? These cravings we had. A craving for everything we see. I want that. I want that. I want that. And pride in our achievements and possessions. In the next few weeks, we're going to be fasting. We're going to have three different fasts that I think are going to address these issues. And what we're going to do, and we'll talk about it more in depth, is we're going to say, listen, this area of my life, I'm bringing you in alignment with the Spirit of God, with the Word of God. So, starting tomorrow, I'd like you to join us. We'll talk about it a little bit. From the 6th to the 12th, it's a food fast, craving for physical pleasure. And certain people fast certain things, and you need to consider your medical situation. And if you need to talk to a doctor, that's the best thing to do. I have to take certain medications with food. So I do what is a Daniel fast. And Daniel fasted when he was taken off to Babylon. And he was offered meat and other things that were not kosher. And so he asked the overseer, said, listen, let me fast for 10 days with only fruits and vegetables and see if my appearance isn't as good as anybody else. And so he did that. And of course, God honored that, and his appearance was as good as anybody else, so he stayed on that diet. So many people do a Daniel fast, which is basically vegetables and fruit. I do a modified version of that. I do soups and salads, and I'm not too concerned if I don't look at everything on the label, if there's a piece of sugar in it like that. I do a modified fast like that, but I do that for a week. And the great thing about this is, and what I've learned to do is, anytime that those hunger pains start coming in, is the time that I'm going to pray. It's the time I'm going to thank God for my life and for my body. And I'm going to take whatever area, before we start, and I'm going to ask you to do this, that you think in that area that you need to be aligned with God's Word or God's Spirit, and say, I'm committing this to you, God, during this week. And so if you have a physical ailment, if you need a healing, why don't you say, this week, God, I am focusing on my pain. And I want my pain to come in alignment with your Word. So this is where I want to get serious. Or maybe you know somebody else who's fighting something physically. And say, on behalf of them, God, this week, I'm fasting for their body. Or maybe it's a temptation that you have. I'm putting this before you, God, this week. I'm getting serious about this. And I'm fasting food from my body to come in alignment with the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And so the first week is that. The second week, the temptation and craving for everything we see, we're going to call a media fast. And we'll talk about that more next week. And then the last week, we're going to have abundance fast. And we're going to ask you that week to just imagine that you're living in a developing nation that doesn't have what we have here. What would you not do, right? Well, you wouldn't go to Starbucks, and you wouldn't play golf, and you wouldn't go to the movies. For that week, whatever is abundance, live as if you were in a developing nation. And then take the money that you saved and give it to a worthy cause that helps the less fortunate. And that'd be a great family project. Wouldn't that say, hey, we're not going to the movies this week. We're going to take that money, or we're not going to do this, or we're not going to do that. We're going to take that money, and let's pray together. Let's figure this out. Let's research where we can give this to. And so this is a 21-day fast that we're going to ask you to be a part of. And I am believing for a breakthrough in these areas of your life and in my life, that we'll have a breakthrough when it comes to media. That all the stuff we see and all the things that enter our lives, that we're going to bring that into alignment with God's Spirit. So I pray that you'll help, you'll join us as a part of this and figure out what the Lord's going to ask you to do. And then I think it's going to be great. Let's stand. A lot of information today. Fasting has been powerful in my life. And I just want to say, it's a lot of discipline, but there's just something behind it. So, Father, right now, we just ask you to give us insight and wisdom, courage, to really dedicate these next 21 days to getting our world in alignment with your Spirit, with your Word. Because we want to dedicate not only this year, we want to dedicate this decade to being followers and believers and obedient servants. Because we know that your way is always the best way. So give us grace. Give us strength. We pray that in the name of Jesus.
This has been a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit streamschurch.org.